I want you to consider how absolutely crazy this is. The Democrats run the show for the most part in both Washington State and Oregon. And in both states, they are going for record big tax increases, one already in place in Washington State, and one near to in place in Oregon, although the legislature should wrap up by Sunday. And if there is any justice in the world, their massive tax increase will not go through. But the one in Olympia already did. And what do the Democrats do? They come out immediately after this record-sized tax increase and say, by the way, folks, we're still going to be short hundreds of millions of dollars over the next few years. So I thought I'd talk to a person. While I've asked for people who are members of the party of slavery, the Democrats, they aren't willing to come on the program. But Senator Chris Gildon is, and he is a Republican who represents Washington's 25th district, which is primarily Puyallup and the surrounding area. Senator, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Hey, Lars. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Thanks.
So how is it possible to pass the biggest tax increase in state history and then immediately come out and say, by the way, we're going to be short a gigantic amount of money, $700 million or so?
You know, it's absolutely unbelievable. In total, they raised state level taxes about $9.3 billion and another just almost $3 billion in local taxes. And still, at the end of the budget cycle, they're going to have a grand total of about $2 million in the bank. Just for perspective, because you start talking about millions and billions, think about a family that earns around $100,000. They get about a 10% raise. And at the end of the month, they're going to have $3.50 in their bank account. That's kind of what we're looking at here.
That's a great way to put it. Because did they do any significant cutting at all to all the various things that state government does?
You know, it just was really interesting what they did. And a lot of it, I think, was bad politics. But they raised gas taxes. They tried to raise college tuition. They raised tax on business, tax on property, tax on sales. I mean, basically, if you could see it, touch it, or taste it in Washington State, they probably increased the tax on it this last year. But they just spent so much that they're having trouble making ends meet. And the frustrating thing to me, Lars, is it didn't have to be that way. Senate Republicans, myself, and Senator Nikki Torres proposed the Save Washington budget, which was a comprehensive budget that didn't have any cuts to services, no tax increases. It preserved our rainy day fund, met all of our state's needs in a responsible manner. And I've got to say it was largely ignored. But we let the Democrats know that they had an option, and every Democrat, at least in the state Senate, voted against that Save Washington budget two times this last session.
Well, are they unwilling to cut anything? Because, Senator, I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but every time I have a candidate on, my favorite question to ask them, no matter what level of government they're going for, city council, county commission, state legislature, governor, what mayor, I ask them, is there something your government, the one you're running for, does that it doesn't need to be doing? And most of them, even the Republicans, act like, they look like a deer in the headlights because they say, what do you mean? I said, well, let's put it this way. Is everything your government agency does absolutely rock solid, essential, and you cannot part with it? There's probably some stuff we don't really have to do. I said, I think there's a lot of stuff you don't have to do and that you should get out of those activities, whatever they are, especially if they cost a lot of money. And usually they do. So, the Democrats can't see their way clear to say, everything we do is absolutely essential and nothing can be cut?
Well, the interesting thing to me was Governor Ferguson's response to this economic revenue forecast, which was just horrible in my view. And he came out and he started blaming the federal government, saying that the feds are the problem with tariffs and all of the uncertainty. Well, guess what? The last time I checked, it wasn't the White House that raised record-breaking taxes in Olympia. It was Governor Ferguson and the legislative Democrats that did that. And I think it's a really bold move to raise taxes on working-class families, miss your revenue targets, and then blame others for your actions when you knowingly did that because you had the option of the Save Washington budget, which did not include all of those taxes and fee increases. And furthermore, I just say, One of the things that I told my colleagues in the legislature is if you are truly worried about the impact that tariffs may or may not have on our economy, then you should do things that are in your power to safeguard that, meaning do not raise taxes this year. Leave yourself some options for the future.
Well, and yet he wanted to blame Trump directly, didn't he? And I kind of take that personally. I support President Trump. I call him out when I think he's wrong, and that happens occasionally, but not very often at all. But he's saying Trump's at fault. The country is doing well. I mean, we've got low unemployment. The forecast inflation that was supposed to result from the tariffs isn't there. Oil prices are down. Gas prices should follow. Other things are going well. The GDP numbers are up. And yet Washington and Oregon seem to be two of the states, blue states, and not a coincidence there, who are saying, wow, things are rough here. Yeah, you've got insane levels of taxation and regulation. Trump is cutting them at the national level. The nation is doing well. You're not cutting them at the local level. Your area is not doing well, but the country is. Do you see the pattern? Is Ferguson just too thick to understand that?
I mean, it's just that old adage that you've heard over and over again. You tax the things you want less of. They tax property. They tax business. Guess what? You're going to have fewer housing opportunities, and you're going to have fewer businesses investing in our state. It's really quite simple. I really just find it frustrating whenever politicians do not accept responsibility for their very direct actions.
Well, look at all the businesses that are leaving, Senator. I mean, there are all these big and small. Now, the big ones we tend to notice. The small ones, it's harder to keep track of all the small businesses that have just fled. But almost anywhere I drive, Tina and I drive around the Northwest a lot, both states, and we see empty storefront after empty storefront. That's not a healthy business climate, just read with that litmus test.
Absolutely right. I mean, I think we're kind of similar to the Titanic right now, but rather than hit the iceberg, we just barely missed this financial iceberg. But I've got to tell you, there's a lot more hazards in front of us, and we need to be very vigilant.
Well, and the other piece of your metaphor, that if I could continue that, the Titanic floated for a while. And I think both Oregon and Washington will float for a while. But while, you know, the folks, the upper income earners and their businesses are leaving the region, and all the money spent on various programs to draw more technology to the region, that doesn't seem to have done much of anything. They're fleeing as well. So the boat is still floating for now, but the sinking may become very, very, very soon. That is Senator Chris Gildon, who is a Republican that represents the 25th district and Puyallup. Senator, thanks very much for the time.